All right, we'll welcome you back in. Things are quieting down, so I guess it's time to get going. This morning, we're going to talk about Peter, and let me just pray for us this morning. God, we just pray that you would have, that you would speak your words this morning through the life of Peter, that it would touch our hearts, touch our lives, to direct us what you have for us individually this morning. Pray that you bless this morning. In your name, amen. So we've been going through a couple sermons with the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. So this morning I'm going to be talking about Peter. I'm going to run through some stuff real quick before we get to the main passage. Two quick kind of history things just to keep when we get to the main passage. You can just jot these down on the side of your bulletin. Matthew 4, 18 through 20, and Luke 5, 1 through 11. That's the same passage. It talks about when Jesus came up, and after a night of fishing, the disciples caught nothing. And Jesus said, "Why don't you throw your nets in one more time?" And Peter said, "Well, Lord, we were just doing this all night, but because you said this, I'll do it." And they threw it over, and they caught a huge catch of fish. And Peter's response was interesting. He says, "Lord, go away from me, for I'm a sinful man." And Jesus' response is to invite them to follow him as disciples. And he says, "We're going to make you fishers of men." That's one little history verse. Hold on to that. The other one is in Matthew 26. Remember, Peter says, "You know, Lord, no matter what, I will be with you, even to death." And then Jesus says, "Well, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." And lo and behold, that's what happened. Peter denies Jesus three times. And it's that the scripture says he went away and wept bitterly. And that's kind of where Peter's left before the crucifixion and the resurrection. The places that we've been here, this is my attempt in trying to squeeze everything on this slide, but Greg talked about the road to Emmaus here, about the hearts, where are our hearts burning within us. And Pastor Ron was up here talking about the 11 without Thomas, and then 8 days later, Jesus appeared to the 11 with Thomas. So this morning, we're going to be here along the Sea of Galilee. Right here, early on, there was women that came to the tomb and Jesus wasn't there. And they said, you know, Jesus sent a message. The disciples are supposed to go to Galilee. And it specifically points out in Luke, it says the disciples and Peter. So we kind of get this idea that Peter is kind of still in a low state from his denial, and he kind of needs to be called out individually as a pep talk. One item of note is right here, Jesus appeared to Peter. There's no record of what happened. It's in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that Jesus appeared to Peter, but we don't have a record of that, so we can't really speculate what happened. So here, John 20, and John 21. So if you want to turn to John 21 this morning, that's where we're going to be. And let me turn there also. I'm going to read the intro to the main passage first. I'm going to start in verse 1 of 21. Afterward, so this is after Jesus appears to his disciples and appears to Thomas. Sometime later, you can see up there it says within the next few weeks. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Peter told them. And they said, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved, which is John, who's writing this book, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. So here's a little deja vu moment. Back in the beginning of the Gospels, Jesus says, "Oh, you don't have any fish? We'll try again." And here, at the end of the Gospels, again, Jesus says, "Well, you didn't catch any fish. Throw in your nets and do it again." But here, Peter's response is a little bit different. The first time, he says, "Lord, go away from me, because I'm a sinful man." And here, at the end of 7, Peter jumped into the water. He left the boat. Everybody had to, in verse 8, it says everybody else has to haul in the boat and all the fish. And Peter just went to Jesus. And I was just thinking about that and just thinking how that's a completely different response. And I think a takeaway here is when you've sinned and when you're in a place when you're low, the response is to not tell Jesus to go away. The response is to run to Jesus and go to him and talk to him about it. So the passage for the morning that we're going to talk about is just right after this. So if you jump down to 15, 16, and 17, and let me read this for you here. When they had finished eating, so they caught the fish, they ate some of the fish, and here it picks up. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So you kind of get an impression here, specifically in verse 17, that Peter was hurt because Jesus kept asking him the same question over and over again. Why would you ask me the question three times? But there's a translation problem here from Greek to English that we don't really get the full picture of what's going on. So that's what I want to go through with you this morning for a little bit. You know what I'm about to say, don't spoil it for your neighbor. But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the four loves real quickly. So what are the loves in Greek? Now this is from C.S. Lewis, so I figured it's pretty good. These are four of the loves that he calls out in his book. I don't know if anybody's read this, but anybody know the Greek words for love? Anybody would call them out? Here's one. Agape. Eros. So here we go. Eros. So that's the love between man and a wife. And I'm not going to say any more about that because it doesn't apply this morning. So dorge, that is not in this passage. Dorge is love between family members, a lot of time between father, son, that affection there. Phileo, somebody called that out. That is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. So buddies, pals, brotherly love. And then lastly, agape. That's unconditional love, godly love. No matter what, I still love you. It's that kind of love. So Peter here is hurt, and he's hurt by Jesus asking him these questions. But he's not hurt necessarily because he's asking the three questions the same way. So what we're going to go through is this. This is in your bulletin. And if you were kind of a little adventurous or ahead of the game and you filled out the English word for love and all the blanks, then you got ahead of yourself. What we're going to do is we're going to fill out the Greek word for love in this passage. Any guesses on what we're going to find here? Not eros. Yeah. It's kind of a trick question because we're going to find both of them in this passage. We're going to find two out of the four in this passage. Have you got your pen? You can fill it out here. I'll read it through again. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you agape me more than these?" Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I phileo you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Here's verse 16. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? So again, Jesus asked the same question. He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Keeping up, verse 17. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you phileo me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So Jesus asked agape the first time, and Peter answered with phileo love. Peter could not answer back with agape love, unconditional love. So Peter said, yeah, we've been hanging out for 3 years. I can be your, I'm your buddy. That's great. Jesus tried again. He said in verse 16, he said, Simon, do you agape me? And Peter again answered with phileo. He couldn't answer with agape love. And I think justifiably so. I mean, maybe Peter's thinking, all right, Jesus just died for the sins of the world. I think he can maybe have a corner on the market for agape love. I don't know if that's what Peter's thinking. Peter is probably, he's days removed, a week, maybe two removed from denying Jesus right before his crucifixion. So he could be playing that in his back of his mind. You know what? I have no right to answer Jesus with agape love because I just couldn't do it. I said I was going to do it, but I can't do it. I'll have to answer with brotherly love. I don't know exactly what's going through Peter's mind, but he couldn't answer with unconditional love. And then here, Jesus changes the question. Jesus had to go from agape love to phileo. I think that's why Peter was hurt. When you read the passage, in English, it seems like, well, Jesus asked him the question three times, and Peter's like, ugh, again, you have to, and maybe there's some of that in there. He could have been hurt because he asked the question three times, the same amount of times that he denied Jesus. That could have been in his mind and in his heart. But here it really seems like Peter's hurt because Jesus had to change the question. Not only did Jesus have to come down to his level, so to speak, and ask him about phileo love, but Peter's already answered the phileo love question twice. So why should he have to answer it again? And Peter again says, well, Lord, you know I have brotherly love for you. I just said it twice. I feel like Peter is in a really downcast state. I'll call it downcast state from his denial, and it's really hard for him to look Jesus in the eye and answer in this love fashion. And I don't know how familiar the word agape love was at this time, and maybe Jesus was bringing it into a new era by using it more, or maybe he wasn't familiar with using it, but this Peter could not respond in that fashion. I think he felt downcast, and Jesus had to come down to his level, so to speak. He had to come down to the phileo love and start with that. He knew Peter could handle that. He knew he could answer an affirmative, and I feel like Jesus kind of does that with us sometimes. All right, you're not ready for this. Let's start with this, and I'm not going to leave you here. I'm going to move you up to here. Well, I'll start with you here where you're at, but I'm going to move you to something else. And that's what Jesus, I think, was doing here with Peter. I've really felt, the first time I discovered the way these loves were in this passage, that I was kind of excited. I'm like, this is great. I like doing Bible study in Greek words, and it's kind of thrilling for me, and it's probably horrible for some people, and thank you for bearing with that in the past 10 minutes. But, I mean, it was thrilling to me, and then I realized that doesn't really help me really enjoy this passage anymore. Peter is in this state where he's kind of just, he feels still down, I feel like, and he's not in a place where he's gung-ho. You turn the page, one page, you go into Acts, you go a little bit further, he gets the Holy Spirit, and it's all Peter, he's just going. But there's some disconnect here, I think, even before the receipt of the Holy Spirit that I think I'd like to highlight this morning. The one verse that I thought of that I really feel like helps with this is John 15:12-13. You can jot this down. It's not in your notes. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man, no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So what Greek word for love is in this passage? Any guesses? Don't be fooled by the word friend at the end and think that the whole passage is about phileo love. It's about agape love. Clearly, when it says, no one, greater agape, no greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now, interestingly, the word friends is philos. So where you get the word brotherly love is from that word right there for friend. And what this is, Jesus teaching his disciples. So this is John 15. We did John 20 and John 21. So this is before, this is in the vine and the branches section. But the key here is, and I don't know what to call it, but an upgrade. But you can upgrade your phileo love to agape love when you lay down your life for another person. And this passage here is kind of describing that. But the utmost love that you have for somebody is when you give your life for somebody else. Maybe it's not in death, but in other ways, possibly, where you give your life for somebody else. And that right there is, I believe, where this hope comes from for this passage. If you want to jump back to our passage this morning, we ended up in verse 17. Jesus goes on in verse 18 and says, I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. And when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? This is John. And in verse 21, it says, when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. So for a long time when I read this passage, I had a real disconnect between verse 17 and verse 18. It's kind of seemed like Jesus got out of the car and got in another car and drove in a completely different direction. Sometimes I feel like you read the scriptures and Jesus maybe gives an answer, and especially when he answers in a parable, and you think, now wait a minute, Jesus, did you listen to the question? Because your answer doesn't really relate. And when you look into it, it relates. I think of an example of, they asked Jesus about his disciples. Why don't your disciples fast? And then Jesus gives an answer about a bridegroom and a bride and wine and wineskins. And I'm thinking maybe, you know, Jesus didn't hear the question right. He didn't really understand what they were asking. And so here, I've read this over and over again, wondering what is the connection here. And so verse 18 talks about, you know, it says, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. When you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you not want to go. And then in 19, there's a little reveal there where it says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. So Jesus is talking about Peter's death, and most historians, and there's some writings from historians from the first and second century that talk about Peter was crucified. And in fact, Peter decided to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus. So that's what this is talking about here. And I think, I'm certain that Peter knew what Jesus was getting at here. I don't think it was cryptic to him. I don't think he really was kind of asking Jesus later, well, what was that about? And when you jump down, when Peter asked in 21, Lord, what about him, meaning John, Jesus answers, you know, if I want him to remain alive, what does it matter to you? And so I think Peter understood what Jesus was saying to him right here, that in the future, Jesus is saying to Peter, you will die for me, you will be crucified. And again, that doesn't seem that hopeful, but we go from being downcast to being dead. That, not, you know, it's not really an upgrade in excitement. But what I think is the important part here is this, because Jesus is in essence saying to Peter, right now you cannot answer me with agape love. You just can't. Because you've been through the denial, you're just not there yet. But what I'm telling you is that in the future, you will die for me. In the future, you will do everything in your power to follow me and serve me, and you will go to your death for me. And right there, Peter, is the ultimate display of agape love. So Jesus is responding, this is a response in verse 18 to the fact that Jesus, or Peter, cannot answer with anything but phileo love. It's Jesus' response in saying, you have agape love, and you will show that. I think right there, it doesn't really say what Peter got, but I feel like Peter understood that, and he could take that, and maybe he didn't feel like it at the moment. We don't always feel like that in the moment when we get a good pep talk from God or from somebody else. We just don't maybe feel like moving, but later we understand, oh yeah, this is what I have through Jesus. This is what I've been given, and I can move on that and bank on it. I feel like right there is the hope, really, in this passage. There's another verse in addition to this one. 1 John 4:19. You can write that in your notes as well. It's agape love also. So this is what Peter is getting. Why could Peter love with agape love? Not because he could do something on his own, but because Jesus had agape love for Peter first. He had unconditional love and gave that to Peter. And that's the only way that Peter could go out and love first, love Christ, to serve him and follow him, but then also love others and follow Jesus to serve the people around him, to preach about the gospel. The only way that Peter could have agape love is the fact that Jesus died on the cross and gave that love to him first. And so John, he's all about love, so he's got it in John. Here it is in First John. So I feel like because Peter understood that, this could turn his downcast eyes, and he could look up. And he could look up at Jesus, and he could receive that love that Jesus offered him, that agape love, and he could take that and stand up in confidence. Because Peter, Jesus said earlier, Peter, you're the rock that I'm going to build this church on. So Jesus had to spend some special time here with Peter to maybe get him out of this denial phase and move him on to a place where Peter could serve him wholeheartedly. And I think, I don't know if you're going to jump into Acts in the future, Pastor Ron, that we'll see a little bit more of that. When the Holy Spirit comes, you got a power combination of the love of God and the Spirit of God that can send people out in mission to preach the gospel to everybody around them. But first, you have to understand the love of God, and you have to understand and feel and accept the love of God in your life. You have to take that and let it bury all the way down deep, the true unconditional love of God, and then let that then spill out in your own life as agape love to first God and then to other people. So what does the NIV say? I don't like the way the NIV titles this section. Jesus reinstates Peter. So you can cross that out and write something else. It's not the original text. The Zondervan stuck that in there. I don't like it because I feel like Peter was never uninstated. I don't feel like Peter was ever kicked out of the team. I feel like Peter was in his own state somewhere, and he needed a personal connection with Jesus, and he needed to feel the love of Jesus. So I just wrote, Jesus recommissions Peter. If you remember at the beginning of the Gospels, that Peter was called out of a boat with Andrew and some of the other disciples, and he says, follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And in this passage, again, they get a miraculous catch of fish. And then twice in this passage, for instance, verse 19, Jesus again says, follow me. So Jesus came to him, talked to him, talked about love, and said, you've got what it takes. I've given you everything that you need to do this, to be the rock, to be the one I'm building this church on, to feed my lambs, feed my sheep, as the passage says. I've given you everything it takes. Just follow me and go. So when you follow Jesus, you get sent. So it's not like you're following and not going somewhere. Maybe that sounds like a dichotomy, but those two go together. So, I mean, I like to just say, Jesus came up and recommissions Peter. Peter got something early on that said, we're gonna make fishers of men. I'm not even sure Peter knew what he was talking about. Here, we're getting a little bit more indication that Peter knew what he was talking about. So the elders have talked about this loved, transformed scent a couple times. And maybe you're on board with that. Maybe you weren't here when we talked about that before. But I feel like Peter's life is a microcosm of those three words there. Loved, transformed, and scent. Now, it's not always a linear thing. I have arrows there. But for Peter was loved by Jesus in this passage, showed the agape love. Peter had to receive that love. You have to receive that love. Peter is transformed by that love, transformed by the teachings of Jesus, by the Word of God, and by the Holy Spirit when you flip over here in Acts. And from that, Peter is sent out with the other disciples to preach the gospel. Now, I will say, it's not always linear, and there's sometimes jumbled. Like, Jesus sent Peter and the disciples out early on a training mission, earlier in the Gospels. They didn't really know what was going on. Some of that didn't work out. But they were sent. They didn't fully understand the love of God. They weren't fully transformed. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, but they were sent. So, just as a exhortation, if you're waiting to be fully receive the full love of Jesus and to be fully transformed before being sent, then you're going to be waiting a long time. So if you've received any bit of love, if you've been transformed in any little way, then you have something to say to somebody else. I think Pastor Ron may have said that last week, that you can go with whatever little message that you have, that you feel like you have, to witness about. If you've been changed and you're just started your journey, then you have something to share with somebody else. This is the start. I mean, they've been with Jesus for maybe 3 years, but when you read Acts, this is really right here the start of the journey for them being sent. And they're just grasping what is going on with the gospel and what Jesus did and his love. And so if you have a little bit, if you've received and understood just a little bit of the love of Jesus or been transformed by the gospel just a little bit, then you have something to share with somebody else. So it's not, and it isn't all, and as you grow a little bit more, you have more to say, you'll be transformed more, you understand love a little bit more, you'll have more of a story to tell. But if you wait until you feel like you're, you know, Martha or Mother Teresa, then it's going to be a long time before you share the gospel with somebody. So I wanted to go through four things here in your bulletin. It looks like it's a typo, but at the end here, there's four words. Four words to close here. They're all D words. So just like Greg, I couldn't stick with having words that didn't start with the same letter. So if we're going to go through these four things, and they're from the life of Peter, if they resonate with you, just circle one. You can fill them all in, but circle one or write something next to it, because I feel like for every one of us today, at least one of these things is for you, pulled from the life of Peter. So the first one here is decision. The decision to be a disciple. Do you need to get out of the boat and decide to follow him for the first time? Peter had to do that at the beginning of the Gospels, and Andrew and the other disciples. They had to say, okay, Jesus, I've seen you around. If this wasn't like an instantaneous thing. He's been walking around teaching and talking. So Jesus said, you know, why don't you get out of the boat and follow me? And they had to decide to do that. They had to say, Jesus, I kind of know a little bit about you. I don't know everything about you, but it seems like you're the worthwhile guy to follow here, and I'd like to give my life to follow you. So this morning, if that's you for the first time, what we're going to do is I'm going to go through these, and then we're going to have a prayer time. So it might be your chance today to step out of the boat for the first time. Denial. You need to run to him and receive his forgiveness. So like I said earlier, Peter, instead of saying, Lord, get away from me, he jumped out of that boat and ran to Jesus. And many times, maybe you've denied Jesus this week in front of a coworker. Maybe you feel like in your life you've denied Jesus for years. And this morning, Jesus is saying to you that he has forgiveness to offer for that. And he's coming to you one-on-one, just like Jesus did to Peter, to offer that forgiveness. And I would just ask you to run to Jesus for that, to go to him for that forgiveness. That's what he has to offer you. downcast. I did use that word earlier. When you're downcast, you're looking down. Your eyes are down. You're not looking up to the glory that you need to see. So do you need to look up this morning to receive the love of Jesus? But much like Peter, I feel like he was down, but he needed to look up to receive that agape love. And maybe you're at a place, maybe you've moved beyond a denial point, but you're still not sure, and you're not really, you haven't received love in the past or unconditional love. You need to look up today and receive his love. Peter definitely did, and I think it spurred him on. And the last one here is dedicate. Peter and the disciples actually had two callings. Sometimes you get a generic calling early on, and you don't know exactly what's going on. You're just called to follow Jesus. And here they got a little bit more detail. Here we go. We're going to feed lambs, feed my sheep. We're going to build the church, and we're going to go. Jesus is about to leave on that chart at the beginning. And actually, on Thursday would have been Ascension Day, which is the 40th day after Easter. So 40 days Jesus left. He ascended. And then the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, the 50th day. But then they were on their own, so to speak, without Jesus. They held the Holy Spirit, but they were ready to move. And they had to commit themselves to do this, to follow Jesus and to spread the love and the mission of Jesus. So today, do you have something in your life that Jesus is specifically calling you to? A person, a mission? And I'm not saying, like, you're about to fly over to Cambodia. I'm just saying, to your school, to your neighbor, to somebody around you that Jesus continues to prompt you about, and you say, well, I just don't have what it takes for this person. I just don't. And maybe Jesus is saying, you know, receive my love, and you'll be able to offer that love to somebody else. And so maybe there's somebody in your head, on your heart, that to share with when you go home or at work or wherever. And maybe it is something big. Maybe it's something to say, you know, I'm about to quit my job, and because God has asked me to do this, and I'm going to go out and do this, whatever it is. And maybe it is big. The disciples went back to fishing. I'm not sure what they were thinking, but they were sent back to Galilee, and I don't know if they didn't know what to do, so they went back to fishing. And it seems like they got a little bit of a sidetrack. Well, we know what to do there. We can fish, so we'll go out. Peter's like, well, I'll go out and fishing. And everybody said, sure, I'll go with you too. I don't know what's going on in their head. They're in Galilee. They're probably picturing everything that Jesus has done in Galilee and everywhere, like all the stuff that he did. And they're waiting. Well, we've seen him a couple times. I'm not really sure what we're supposed to do now. But sometimes we have a tendency to kind of go back and revert to what we're familiar with and what we're comfortable with. But it's not the thing that Jesus called us to. So Jesus had to show up on the shore and tell them, okay, you can catch all this fish. We can catch fish all day long. I can help you catch fish. Here we go, 150, I don't know why, but 153. You know the magic of that number, let me know. But 153 fish, we could do that. That's great, but it's not what you're called to. We're going to go and spread the gospel. I only have 12 of you, or 11, and then another 12. The 12th is added in Acts. We're going to go and we're going to do this. But sometimes we might get sidetracked, and maybe we need to recommit our life to follow Jesus and his mission, something that's specific to your life that Jesus has given you. So what I'd like to do, close this morning, I'll leave those up. If those resonate you, if one of those resonates with you, circle it, pray about it. I'm going to pray through these four. If this is you and you want to raise your hand, when I get to that one, feel free to do so. If you want to come forward, if you need to recommit and you need to come forward, or if you need to come forward to receive the love of Jesus in a fresh new way, when we get to that one, I'd welcome you to do that. Just ask maybe the elders, a couple of folks come up, and I'll pray. And if you want to raise your hand as we go through, it's between you and God. You just need that. It's just an acknowledgement to him. You want to come forward and receive prayer. I'll pray, and then we'll have a prayer time afterwards for those who want to stick around as well. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the life of Peter. We just thank you for everything you took him through and everything that he's learned, that it can be a lesson for us. God, he had some ups and downs, a lot of downs sometimes, sinking in the water when he was trying to walk on water. Jesus, you called him Satan and get behind him because he didn't know what you were talking about. But Lord, in the end, you've called him to serve you, and he did that because of everything you've given to him. So Lord, we just ask for those this morning that need to dedicate, need to decide this morning to follow you. They need to decide, they need to get out of the boat and to follow what you have for them. You're calling them for the first time. We just ask that you would come to them and speak with them, come to their life and into their heart to start a journey with you. Lord, I just pray that they may receive your love and your forgiveness. God, they may start on a journey. Lord, I just pray that they may be able to connect with others that will help disciple them on this path, just as you did with Peter. Lord, I pray this morning for those who have denied you in the past. Maybe it's real recent. Maybe it's been ongoing. Lord, I just pray that you would offer forgiveness to those who have denied you, either verbally or in the way they've walked their lives, that you would offer your true forgiveness, God, that you died on the cross and you took away sin for all of us. You took away that hurt and that pain, and you offer forgiveness to all. I just pray for those this morning that need to just pray and receive your forgiveness. Lord, I just pray for those who are downcast, their eyes, their hearts are downcast today, and they just do not feel unconditional love for whatever reason. Lord, I just pray that you would love those people. I just pray that you would love those who need your love today. Just, if it's you, just raise your hand. If it's you, you can open out your arms to receive the love of Jesus today. His love is unconditional, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've denied him. He died to show his love for you, and he's offering it. You need his love this morning. Please receive it, knowing that you can have that agape love in you. You can have that agape love to reflect back to him and to give to others. Receive his love this morning. Lord, I ask for those who need to rededicate their lives to following you, maybe in a specific path. God, you're calling all of us, really. You're calling all of us to feed your sheep, to shepherd your flock. You're calling all of us here who have accepted you. You're calling all of us to follow you. Lord, that could be every single one of us in here. We need to rededicate our lives to following you. God, we just need your love to do so. We need your Holy Spirit to do so. Maybe there's something specific this morning. If you have that, just lift that up to God. God, I just pray that you would receive whatever specific things that you've laid on their hearts this morning. As they're giving these things back to you, I just pray that you would receive that and give those people the extra love and your spirit to carry out your mission to the world. Lord, I just pray that all of us, as we go from here, that we may understand your love, God, that we may be transformed even more day by day, that we may be able to walk from here and to be sent, and to go out, and to not be back hiding and fishing or doing whatever we know is to be safe and comfortable. Lord, whatever that case may be, I just pray that we may be able to go here in strength by your love and by your power and by the Spirit. We just pray this in your name. Amen. The two things before I close, one is reminder of the newcomers reception over here that we're going to have in a few minutes. And then secondly, if you raised your hand during any one of those and you want to come forward, we'll have some of the elders up here to pray for you afterwards. If any of those points struck you and you need to talk to somebody about it, we're going to be willing. If Kevin, you want to come up, and Ron, so if you want to come forward for prayer, we can do that. And everybody else, that they be mindful. We'll have some prayer time up here and the newcomers reception over there. So please think about these things. Think about the thing that maybe you circled in your bulletin this morning as you go. What is God asking you to do? How is the lesson of Peter affecting your life as you go from here this morning? So God bless and enjoy your Sunday.